Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Right in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you for guiding us and directing us, God. Thank you for having a relationship with us where it's not this big, huge thing that we can't even walk with, God, but yet you come into our everyday life. God, you change and move and work and heal and restore and give strength and give comfort every single day that you walk with us, God, that your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. God, I pray that you would speak this morning. I pray that it would be your word that would be powerful in our lives. I pray that the seeds that are planted would take hold and dig deep roots into our lives that will nourish us throughout all the week and for the rest of our lives, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. I pray that you would just continue to be with us all throughout all today as we head to the park after this and just have community together and meeting each other and growing in our relationships, God. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, today we're talking about Mark chapter 4. But before we get there, to really set this up, the thing that I think we can ask, or the question that we can ask in our lives, especially attending church, and maybe we look at other people's lives, or maybe we even look in our lives and go, why in one particular season do I feel like I was growing with God, like I was on fire, like God was speaking to me? Hold on a second, my mic's trying to run away. Like God was trying to speak to me. And then in another season, I just feel like it's dry. I feel like I can't hear his voice. I feel like I'm in this season where I'm just not growing, or whatever it is. It's a different season in our life. And we may be asking the question, why? Or we may be asking the question, how do I get back to where I'm in that season, where I'm experiencing that growth? Or maybe we look at our relationship with God and going, God, I want to grow in a relationship with you. I want to get closer to you. I want to know you more. But we may ask the question, how? How do I do that? How do I walk in this road? And how do I manage this every single day? And the amazing thing is that Jesus begins to teach this. He guides us in this, and he was guiding his 12 disciples. And in Mark chapter 3, we see that Jesus goes and selects his 12 disciples, the ones that are going to follow him, the ones that he's going to pass this information on, and they are going to continue on and change the world to where 2,000 something years later, here we are today in Bluffton, South Carolina, still talking about the risen Savior, still talking about this amazing truth. And he selects these guys in Mark chapter 3, and then he goes into a string of teachings all throughout that. And then we get to Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first half because it's so much scripture. The first half is not going to be on the screen for you, but then when we get to verse 13, you'll see that's the bulk of what we're going to talk about. But I didn't want to skip over these first few verses. Is it all right? Everybody okay this morning? You look good. I know that. So we're going to start here in verse 1. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. In his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they were withered because it had no root, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, But those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that, and then he quotes Isaiah chapter 6. He says, they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. We see these first few verses, Jesus starts teaching, and then in Jesus' fashion, he is a storyteller at heart. He loves to tell stories. He loves to teach through telling stories. And so during this time, it would have been very prominent for them to see a farming the land, because during that time we couldn't just run to Publix, right, and grab all of those. And so they would see that planting and the soil. So he saw that and he grabbed it and he said, this is what I want you to understand. If you are walking about the boat, he begins to teach and he starts talking about seed that he's planting. And then later on he stops and he says, hey, I want you to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, right? But then he says something kind of peculiar if you think about it. He says, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables. And he almost alludes like those on the outside may not fully understand, so I speak in parables so that I can draw them in, so they will want to know more. But we even see once Jesus is gone, we receive the promised Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, one of his promises is that he will reveal truth to us, right? And so those on the outside may not get seen all the truth that God has to offer, but when he gives us that invitation to follow him, to come to him, he starts revealing truth to us. He starts revealing those things in us. And so people who are outside, maybe you've experienced this at work or experienced this with your family, if somebody that doesn't follow Jesus, they see a decision you make and they don't fully understand why you would make that decision. They don't fully understand why you would commit the time or the money or the energy to have a relationship with God. And they look at it and they're kind of puzzled. Like, why would you do that, right? Why would you follow through with that? And it's because maybe they don't have a relationship. They haven't seen what you have seen. They haven't experienced God the way that you have experienced God. But then he pulls his 12 together and he goes, hey, you're on the inside. So I'm going to explain it to you. I just told that parable and it may seem kind of elusive, but hey, let's come in and let me introduce you to this truth. Let me explain what this truth means. And so this is an incredible thing. As a follower of Christ, maybe you're listening online or you've never followed Christ before and you're kind of looking in Christianity, you get to right now look in on a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. Like kind of like the inside. We get to go to the back room and listen to principles that Jesus is teaching us. And so here in verse 13, he begins to explain this parable. You guys still good? All right. Verse 13, it says, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown to them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And today, he gives us four different principles of four different things. And I want to spend some time in those four things and then tie it all together and help us to understand why this is huge and why this can help bring spiritual growth. I would even say supernatural spiritual growth in our everyday day in and day out life. This is a day in the life that Jesus begins to teach us and to help us understand this. And here's the beautiful thing right here is he starts off and he points off and he says, the farmer sows the word. The farmer sows the word. And I want to say, maybe it's just my age, but I'm a yard guy. Anybody else like love some nice, green, good-looking grass? Yeah, I don't know. There's a certain age. Remember when you're a kid, you're like, I don't care what grass looks like. I don't care what yards look like. There's a certain age you pass by, and you just pass by a yard, right, in your neighborhood. You're like, oh, that's a good yard. Like, that's some good lawn. I want to get out, take my shoes off, walk around. Like, I want to feel that, like, carpet-like grass. There's a couple neighborhood houses in my neighborhood that I got to stop every time. I'm like, man, look how tall that grass, look how thick that grass is, right? Like, there's just some point you just see it, but that's me. I'm a yard guy, right? And so I look at their yard, I'm like, how do I get my yard like that, right? Like, how do I make this happen? And so you go in through the process, right? You get the seed that you need. You got to do the research on the seed. You got to find all that. And then you start scattering that seed everywhere it'll go, right? And what else do you got to do? You got to prepare the soil, right? If you don't have a ton of money and don't have a tiller, you're out there with like an umbrella or cleats or something, right? Like trying to make some holes. Or you get a tiller and do it right and come out through. And then you start planting the seed. But what I love about when you start planting that seed is you go all throughout the yard. When you're, whatever you have, a hand one or a push one, and the seed starts to scatter, what does the seed do? It goes everywhere. If you've ever done it before, like, it goes, you will find that in the middle of the street some days. A couple weeks later, you'll find it like in your car wheel wells, in your hood. Like, it goes everywhere. And the first thing that I want us to see here that I love about this is it says that the farmer sows the seed. And then he starts talking about where the seed lands. He doesn't say, I go to the exact spot or this certain area and I only plant the seed there. No, he says, the farmer puts the seed everywhere. God's word is for everyone. God, there's not a specific person that is locked down to. God is saying, my seed, my word goes out. And you and I have an opportunity because we can look at it in two different layers. Ultimately, the word means, if we switch to read in John chapter 1, that is God's message. And Jesus is the word made flesh. And so we see it's God's message. It's Jesus' message when he talks about the word. And in John chapter 1, he kind of trades those out synonymously when he's talking about the Word and talking about Jesus. So if we want to know what the Word looks like, what is a perfect example of God's Word, we can see that in Jesus. And so we see this begin to play out, and his message, God's Word, God's truth, he's saying, I spread it everywhere. And then you and I are vessels of God's truth. So not only do we receive that, but also we can be the ones that are scattering his seed. We can be the ones spreading his message too. And so you and I, we don't have to play favorites on how we're spreading that seed, right? And this is a truth I want us to get here if you're taking notes. We can't change someone spiritually, but we can give them the word that can. You and I are not responsible for the seed going into the right soil for the growth to happen, right? God does that. The person receiving the word has to be open to it. But you and I, what our responsibility is just like that middle-aged guy in the yard, right? Like pushing that seed, see, everywhere. That's our responsibility, is living our lives in a way that we're sharing the message of God with anybody that will hear, because we don't know where their heart is. We don't know what God is doing behind the scenes in their life. And you may say something which you think is just in passing, and all of a sudden it's a seed that's planted in their heart. And all of a sudden it takes. And God starts to do something through you because you're willing to plant the seed everywhere we go. And we see this amazing truth begin to happen. And what this looks like is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. This is like my verse. Like, I could put it on a banner. This is what I've devoted my life to. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Because I love that description. How do we spread the seed? We speak the truth in love. He just didn't just say speak the truth and kind of leave it there. He's like, no. It's rooted and founded in love. And then the reason we do that is to help every person grow to be more like Jesus. Grow in, I love how the verse says, in every mistake, every respect, in a mature body. You and I, God wants to grow us into maturity in our relationship with him. And he says how we do that determines the soil of our heart. And then he begins to break some of these down. The first one is, he talks about here in verse 4, he says that as he was scattering the seeds, some fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. And then in verse 15, he describes it. And he said it was like seed along the path where the word was sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So the first word I want us to get here is that the word can be taken. It can be taken, not like the movie Taken, right? But the word can be taken, right? The seed is falling on rocky ground. It didn't take root. It didn't go into the soil and begin to grow because immediately Satan came and took it away. And this is what it looks like in our everyday life, a day in the life, right? We're trying to pull faith into our everyday life. We hear a word at church, right? And then we leave this place and going, God didn't say that. Daniel was saying that, right? But that wasn't for you. That wasn't for your family. That could never be true for you because Satan is the father of lies. He wants to divide. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that he's the accuser. He accuses us. You are not enough. You can't make it, right? Or maybe we hear that, and so we see how that can happen in everyday life. Maybe we read something that morning before we go to work or before we start parenting or whatever it may be. We read it, and we go, wow, that's a good truth. Wow, that's powerful. Or it's something that challenges us, that God's trying to change in us. And then we walk away from it, and Satan tries to feed those whispers and lies into us and going, no, that's not for you. That's not, you can't change. That's not how you're going to change. That's not really true, right? Like, that. I don't know. Maybe that was just this, and all of a sudden it begins to change and shift in our everyday life, and the seed that God's planted in us doesn't take root. It doesn't begin to change our lives every single day, and the Satan has come and has snatched it out. And then he continues on and gives us another soil where the seed hits. And this one, in verse 5, it says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because it had no root. And then in verse 16, he explains it. Like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word at once, receive it with joy. I love that. We hear a word, we're excited about it, right? Like, yes, that was good. I'm leaving church. I'm leaving, reading my time, my quiet time. I feel good about it. I get to lunchtime, or I get a week down the road, a month down the road, a year down the road. And then it says something begins to happen. Trials or troubles happen. Something happens in our life. A circumstance outside of our control comes, and it puts pressure on our lives. It brings fear into our lives. Whatever it may look like. And I love this too. It says trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Maybe it even changes our life. But then somebody in our family goes, oh, I cannot believe you would act that way. I cannot believe you made that decision. You're now become one of those like Jesus people, right? Like you have just moved, right? All of a sudden, the persecution because of the word, right? Because it changed us. Now, all of a sudden, we see that, and the circumstance begins as this describes that the sun comes out, the trial comes, the trouble comes, and it scorches the seed that God placed in us. And all of a sudden, then we release it like, oh, maybe that wasn't for me. Maybe what God said really wasn't true. Maybe that didn't take in me, right? Or maybe what that was. And you received it as a child, and as you got older, these things begin to happen, or situation or circumstance begin to happen. We see this all the time in our lives, and we see how God is so, he knows his creation, right? And he knows how that can play out in our lives. Maybe you've experienced in your life, or maybe you've experienced it with somebody that is close to you. They walked into a trouble, they walked into a trial, they walked into the circumstance, and they see it, and that moment we have a decision, and am I going to allow God's seed to take root into my heart, into my life? Am I going to allow it to be scorched up by the circumstance? Am I allow it going to be changed by the situation that I'm in? And I love this because it says it did not take root. You and I, when we read God's word and we start to apply that into our lives, we have to allow it to take root into our lives. We have to allow it to take deep down in us, because we don't know. We could be walking into a trial. We could be walking into trouble, or we could be walking out of one. We're feeling okay, but yet we want to help somebody else as they're getting ready to walk into a trial. And we're gonna get there in just a minute of how we can truly grow in those roots, truly grow inside of our lives, because you and and I, we walk into. This is real. This is everyday life that we are walking in. And then here he gives us a third scenario. It says, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And then verse 18, this is what he says to explain it. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires from other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. I love that. I went through and I underlined making it unfruitful. This is saying that the seed came, it planted, it began to grow. Actually, some roots began to grow. Fruit began to come up, right? And the plant began to grow. You and I become to grow a little bit. The seed was planted, right? And then life happened, right? Real life, day to day, started to happen. And it says the desires of this world began to take over. The pursuit of wealth began to take over. And in fact, it started to choke out the seed that God had for us. And it happens in my life. It happens in everybody's life, I believe, right? The pursuit of man, this right here, getting bigger, getting better. Like, I've got this house now. Now it's time to upgrade. I got this phone now. It's time to upgrade. I got this, whatever it is. And God is not against nice things. He's not against those next things. But you and I, he's saying there's a margin that God's called us to live in so that we are not taken captive by the things of this world, not held back by the things of this world. Because God is saying, I have come so that you may have life abundantly. You may have freedom. You may have hope. And I don't want that hope to be choked out by the things of this world, right? I mean, because you move to the low country, it's time to buy a boat, right? Like, it's time to, like, this is real life, right? Like, you come in and you start to see the Joneses in their house and this is happening. And it's a real conversation all the time of going, okay. And we got to look at our spouse or look at our bank account and go, okay, what is the true pursuit? What's truly going to bring purpose? What's truly going to bring us happiness, joy, love, hope, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience? How do we see that fruit in our lives? And Jesus teaches and he says, what I want you to understand is that the things of this world can choke that fruit out, and we won't see the fruit in our lives that God has called us to. And he is saying, I want you to experience that every single day in your lives. And you and I, we have an amazing gardener who comes into our lives, comes into our heart. And as we read the word, it may remind us or direct us and going, hey, that's a weed you need to cut out. That's a thorn you need to hold back, because it's going to, if you're not careful, it's going to choke out the fruit that you're experiencing in your life. And then anxiety and worry begins to creep in, and it can easily choke out God's blessings, God moving inside of our lives, the fruit that we experience. And then he gets here, and this is the good soil right here. This is the right soil right here where he begins to teach. And if I have a title for my message, it's called The Right Soil. And he gives us, this is how good Jesus is. He doesn't just say, here's the right soil, but he's saying, I'm going to give you the ingredients so that you can walk out of this place knowing what the ingredients for the right soil looks like. If you ever walked through the Ace Hardware or something like that, and you see all the different soils and what that may look like and all the different combinations, and you can just like, I need a chemistry degree just to grow some centipede grass in my yard, right? But Jesus is saying, I don't want you second guessing. I don't want you going, what does this look like? He's saying, I've come to bring clarity. I want you to experience hope and freedom and healing. And he's saying, but to have the right soil, to have our hearts ready. And he says here, the last one is how do we thrive in the gospel? How do we thrive in our relationship with God? In verse 8, he says, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100. And then in verse 20, he explains it. He says, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times that was sown. And if he would have been teaching this, a normal return on some of their investment of harvest for the crops would have been 1-8 ratio. And so as he starts going and he says, you know what? In my kingdom, if you will sow the seed and have the right soil in your life, you'll see 30. And they're like, 30. And he's like, 60, 100. That would have been unfathomable, like overflowing, rich in mercy. And that would have just been a huge speaking piece for them to understand what God wants us to realize. And he's saying, when you experience me in your life, I want to bring that fruit in you. I want that fruit to well up, overflowing to where you can't contain it. Not only that, I love it because when we are an overflow of what God's doing in our life, what? We can start pouring into other people, into their life as well. He's like, I want you to have so much that it's not just for you, but it's for everybody else. So you can take more seed out, right? You can give more fruit out. You can give more peace, more hope, more love, more grace, more mercy, that it's just flowing from you. And he says here, and he says, this is the formula that I want you to see. The right, if you're taking notes, the right ingredients for God to move, he says here, is to hear the word. And then he says, accept it, to believe it, and to live out his word. Every time we hear something that God is teaching us and directing us, if you want it to grow roots, and you may say, everything's kind of going okay right now. I'm just going to kind of coast on. But what I want you to understand is every time we read a scripture or we come to church and hear a principle, but when we hear it, right, and then we believe it to go, I'm placing my faith in it. When we place our faith in it, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm pursuing it, right? I believe it to the point, now I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to look for a way. Now I'm going to shape my life according to what the word says, right? And then every time you and I do that, our roots grow stronger. Our roots grow deeper in Jesus. And he tells us here in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the abiding piece that you and I have, is that relationship with him. That God, I hear what you're saying to me, and I'm receiving that. So we talk about that. I believe you and I, we have to position ourselves to hear God's word, right? And if we feel like we can't hear God, or feel like God's not speaking to us, but yet our Bible's closed, right? Then God is saying, I've given you the Bible. I've given you my word. All scripture is God breathed. And anytime we want to hear God speak, we can open up his word, and we can hear it. We want to be in godly community, whether that's coming to church or small groups or whatever that may be, or listening online and hearing his truth, hearing his principles. Because he says that first step there is to hear it, to position ourselves, having the right ingredients to receive God's word, to hear it. And then he says, I want you to believe it. I want you not just to hear it, because if you walk out of here and you're not holding on to it like you believe it, the enemy is going to come and he's going to snatch that truth away from you. And he is saying, you have to believe it, have faith in it. It's going, yes, this is for me. If it came from here, it's for me. If it came from here, it's because God wants to bless me. God wants to walk with me. God wants to guide me. And God wants to shape my life to the abundant life that we have in him. And then the last piece, this is usually the piece where it can get hung up, right? But he's saying, this is where the roots truly, I mean, you want to grow some roots in Christ. You want to see God change our life every single day. And he's saying, I want you to live it out. I want you to begin to apply it to your life. That's where real, like when we read in the book of James, it says faith without works, right? He's saying you have so much faith that you're going to work it out. Working out our salvation, going, God, I believe you. And I'm going to apply this to my life. And every time we do that, the soil is right for God to move, for God to move in our life. And how amazing is it that God looks at James, God looks at you, God looks at a man, and he looks at us and goes, I love you so much. I'm not going to speak just in riddles so you don't understand. I'm going to give you truth. And every day you have an opportunity to strengthen your roots in me. Every day you have an opportunity to abide in me. Every day you have an opportunity to live out the fruit that we have. And so we get to surrender that, because what God wants to do in your life, we need deep roots in him. What God wants to do in and through you, he wants to produce so much fruit in your life. He's saying, oh, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan. I got a hope. I got a future. I want you to have deep roots in me, right? And he's saying, you have an enemy, an adversary who wants to snatch that up, who wants to take that away. So believe me, walk in this, have the right soil, position yourself to cling to me. And then, right, like we don't produce the fruit. The soil is just right for it. Now we're positioned for it. Our hearts are open. God. My yes is on the table. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to do it, what your word says. And the Holy Spirit begins to shape our life. And we start to see the fruit that God produces in us. And so as I close, and we get ready to sing this last song together, I just want to put this out there to us. Maybe for you, where are you at in this position? Maybe you can relate to the first part of the first section that we see here, where God talks about that the enemy has taken up the seed. That maybe you've experienced some of the lies that God has spoken into your life, where you've heard something that you've heard God has spoken into you. Or maybe you're listening for the first time in a long time, or maybe you're in the room and you're saying, you know what, over this pandemic and over this time, there's been some things in me that Satan has snatched up. He's breathed some lies into me. He's dividing things, and it's not moving in me. Or maybe it's a trial or circumstance of going, it's been so hard that I've been fearful, I've been worried. It's caused my faith to be shaken. I have doubt. I'm even wondering, is God even there? Is he even real? Like, is he even alive? Is he there? Like, these real questions, right? These questions that can happen, because sometimes life's extremely difficult. And don't let somebody tell you that God will give you, he won't give you more than you can handle. We look to the cross for that, right? We see so many times that you and I, we rely on God's power. It may feel like it's too much. We can't carry it. We're saying, God, I'm casting my cares onto you because the weight of you. I'm believing my faith is rooted, God. I'm asking you to speak into me, to heal that. I want to see the fruit in my life. Or maybe it's the temptation. Maybe you're sitting back and going, you know what? I've taken that path of going, and I've experienced that my heart is maybe in the wrong place. My heart has been pursuing something of this world, or it's taken over my mind of going, you know what? I was pursuing God, or I still am pursuing God, but I've been so worried about this. And I need to surrender that to God. And that happens in our life. It happens in my life, where I need to stop and go, okay, God, I'm worried about this. Maybe finances, maybe it could be whatever it is. It could be something going on at work or all this. And God, this is like, it's causing me to stay up at night. It's causing anxiety. It's causing worry. And it's starting to choke some fruit out of my life, where I'm becoming bitter, where I'm becoming angry, and it's not your fruit. God, I need to surrender that to you. I need you to speak back into my life. Give me faith in that, God. It's making me unfruitful in my walk with God. And I don't want that, God. I want you. I want to get to that thriving, surrendered state to you, God. Move in this. And here's what I know, is that he is faithful, right? That we serve a good God who loves you enough that says, you are my child, and I have this open invitation to come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and his promise is, I will give you rest. You will have to carry it no more. I will carry it. I will bring healing. I will take that worry. I will take that pain, and allow me to take that fruit of bitterness and replace it with hope. Replace it with forgiveness. Replace it with, I will grow that in you 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, so that it flows out of you to the point where people begin to see it and go, oh, I need some of that fruit. It's like it's just falling off of you. You're just, your presence around me, I sense peace, I sense hope. Maybe it's the hope, God, we need to hope again. If we're honest, I'm gonna wrap up, promise, we're gonna go into the next service, but maybe it's this last year was difficult, right? Maybe we just need to hope again and say, God, I believe something is coming, right? I believe in what you're doing. I need you just to speak into my life. I need to see that you're still working, and you and I can hold on to that seed. We can believe it to start living it out. We get up going to work going, I know God's going to move now, right? I'm start shaping my life around God is going to move. Maybe you need to say that over and over again. You know what? Today, I believe God's going to move. I'm getting dressed, right? Today, I believe God's going to move my life. My roots are growing in him. I'm going to apply the word. I have this hopeful expectation that God is still moving and working every inch around my life. And so today, I just want to say a prayer, maybe a prayer of surrender. Of saying, God, I need to release some of these things in my life. And I need you to speak faith into me, God. I need to hear it. I need to believe it. And I need to live this out every single day. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. I pray that if there's any worry or fear, God, that we're holding on to, or maybe there's a lie that Satan has spoken into our lives, and I pray that right now we can take that in this moment, maybe during this song, or maybe right now we can speak that out to you, God. Say, God, I need you to take this from me. I need you to heal me. I need you to change me. And we replace that lie with a truth, with your word, God. And that word, we cling to it. We allow the seed to grow roots in our lives and hearts by believing, having faith in it, and having so much faith in it, God. I pray that you give us the boldness and the courage to live it out, to start living as if that seed, that truth is true and moves in our lives and hearts, God. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.